only thing truckers are interested in is how fast their trucks will go and how far their CBs will reach.
Well, hello, big riggers. Thanks for joining me, Jim Campbell, as we talk about all things trucking. Get ready, folks, for the blame game, because it started. It's in full progress as the FBI is investigating the actions of the Ship Dally's crew. Meanwhile, the Ship Dally is making moves to shed some of the blame to the crew at Dundalk. Before we get into it, please like and subscribe. Don't forget to click the notification bell at the bottom. Those who would prefer to listen to the podcast version can listen to the podcast version on your favorite player, whether it's TuneIn, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you listen. Okay, from outward appearances, the American taxpayers are going to be on the hook once again for the entire cost of the cleanup and rebuild of the Key Bridge. This case looks to drag out for the next several years because the blame game is once again in full force for financial responsibility. Check this out.
It has been 3 weeks since the Key Bridge collapse, and tonight Fox 45 News uncovering some details about the moments leading up to the tragedy and possible warning signs that went ignored.
First on Fox, Rebecca Pryor speaks exclusively with a Port of Baltimore employee who claims that ship was experiencing electrical failures before leaving the dock.
She joins us live with his firsthand account, Rebecca.
Yeah, Mary and Guy, if this information is true, it will likely be at the center of the mounting civil and criminal investigations against the vessel and its owners and operators.
Do we know all traffic was stopped?
A desperate mayday call.
I can't get to the other side, sir. The bridge is down.
Made too late. Chilling video capturing the minutes leading up to the tragedy, showing the ship losing power, lights flashing on and off before striking a support, sending the bridge crumbling down. This week, FBI agents boarding the vessel, conducting a criminal investigation into the earlier hours, seeking warning signs that may have been missed or ignored, like what crane operator Damian Tucker.
I ended up working 15 hours on that vessel.
Claims to have witnessed firsthand.
I was radioed up from the reefer mechanic and some of the longshoremen on the ship that was lashing containers that night, that they were having electrical problems getting power to the reefers.
Reefers are refrigerated cargo containers used to transport perishable goods. In the two decades Tucker has worked at the Port of Baltimore, loading and unloading thousands of reefers.
Does that happen often?
No, it doesn't happen often.
In your 23 years, how many times have you experienced where reefers are struggling to get power to them?
Maybe twice.
Echoing his account, the Associated Press quoting an anonymous source, claiming while the ship was still docked, alarms went off on some of its refrigerated containers, indicating an inconsistent power supply. Tonight, the NTSB not confirming or denying the claims, only willing to say a preliminary report of their investigation will be released in the coming weeks, leaving loved ones seeking closure.
Okay, the FBI is investigating reports that the Ship Dally's crew knew that it had electrical issues and never should have sailed to begin with. The Ship Dally's owners are saying no, that they were clear. Yeah, they had electrical problems, but they were cleared for sailing, and that's why they left the port. Chairwoman Jennifer Homady has doubled down, saying that the Ship Dally knew it had alarms going off signaling electrical problems, but that's not an official report yet. She said that in a news conference, so we'll see where that goes. Now, the FBI once again is questioning the Dally ship crew members to see what they knew and when.
Photos from the Washington Post capturing FBI agents climbing up the side of the massive container ship Dally, executing a search warrant. The ship still trapped in the wreckage of the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Late Monday, word that a fourth body has been recovered. Law enforcement sources tell NBC News the FBI is focused on whether any member of the crew had prior knowledge of the ship's mechanical problems that would make it unsafe. The NTSB tells NBC News its investigators are looking into reports that alarms were going off on the ship while it was still in port, suggesting a potential power problem before the ship left port.
They needed the assistance of Hyundai, who is the manufacturer of equipment in the engine room, to download data from the electrical power system and look at the circuit breakers.
Attorneys for two of the bridge repair workers who died and one survivor say the men were sitting in their cars on a break when they were suddenly thrown into the water below without warning. Two remain missing.
Now, What's going to make litigation a lengthy one is the fact that the ship Dali is a Singapore-flagged ship that was built by a South Korean shipbuilder, Hyundai, that was staffed with a crew from India, which was carrying cargo for two different companies, one Danish and one Swiss, hit an American bridge and caused it to collapse. There's a lot of moving pieces in that equation. In the middle of all that, the owner of the Dali has declared what's called general average. A general average is a maritime principle exclusive to the shipping industry and is meant to spread out the cost should a maritime loss to the ship or cargo take place. Now, for example, if a ship was in a storm and the crew needed to toss some of the cargo overboard to avoid the ship sinking, the ship owner, as well as anybody that had cargo aboard that ship, would share in the cost of covering the loss, not just the entity whose possessions were tossed overboard. Means the loss itself is a shared event. On a larger scale, it can mean that the cargo owners that have already paid to have their containers shipped would have to share in the total cost of the huge salvage efforts, like what is going on with the ship Dali as it relates to removing the thousands of tons of steel, as well as the repair cost to the Dali itself with the ship owner. Now, however, here's the sticky point. General average only applies to the refloating of the ship, not to any other cost, such as the cost of the rebuilding of the bridge itself. At this point in time, it's anybody's guess as to how many millions and millions of dollars it's going to end up costing to refloat the ship Dali, and once again, the cost of the bridge rebuild, how much each entity, the cargo and the ship owners, would pay is proportional to the value of what they had on that ship. It's common for cargo and the actual containers to be worth more than the ship itself. If that is the case, cargo owners would be on the hook for more than half the salvage costs. However, the same cargo owners could turn around and file lawsuits in an effort to avoid payment, and especially so since usually only about one-third of the containers usually have insurance on them. Check this out.
Well, you know, the Dali was carrying about 4,000 shipping containers, and now the ship owner is saying that they want to have the owners of that cargo that was on the ship pay for the salvage efforts. Now, with that being said, the ship owner made what's called a general declaration, which means a third-party adjuster will say what each stakeholder should contribute. This comes as crews are still working to remove some of the shipping containers so they can lift up pieces of the bridge wreckage to ultimately free the ship. Meanwhile, the Danish ship company Maersk is taking action to help serve the Baltimore area. Maersk is still not accepting new bookings to or from the Port of Baltimore. However, they are using alternative ports like Newark, Norfolk, and Philadelphia via road and rail. This is the critical step they are taking since the two temporary channels that are currently open are not deep enough for Maersk and other carriers to come through. Maersk says that they are also still waiting for details on a third temporary channel to open for them, hopefully by the end of this month. Now, Resolve Marine is helping with some of the salvage efforts, and they believe that they need to remove 140 containers in order for them to free the ship.
So in the big picture, if the owners of the cargo can demonstrate that the ship itself was not seaworthy and should not have set sail, then they would have a credible defense against paying any contributions to the general average. The Key Bridge cleanup, the repairs to the ship Dali, the cost of the Key Bridge rebuild, and of course lawsuits of those killed in this incident, the total cost of this incident could possibly make this the costliest maritime financial loss in history. Meanwhile, the Army Corps of Engineers have announced the opening of two temporary alternate channels for commercially essential ships in the Port of Baltimore. However, one is only 11 foot deep and the other is only 14 foot deep, which means that neither alternate lane is nowhere near deep enough to accommodate the large ocean-going container ships. Now, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is planning a third alternate channel due to open up the end of April. Now, at 35 feet deep, this would provide additional limited access to the Port of Baltimore and be deep enough to accommodate some of the larger ships. This situation is still causing and will continue to cause traffic backups, cars, trucks, ability to use the Key Bridge. Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge used to carry more than 30,000 vehicles across its span daily. Anyone that's ever traveled up and down Route 95 north or south or has driven through the tunnels in and around 895 know that these routes were already normally busier than the Key Bridge. However, now these routes have had to take up the slack for the Key Bridge being incapacitated, making them that much more busier yet. Before the crash, the Fort McHenry Tunnel saw more than 100,000 vehicles pass through it every day. Data shows that the Harbor Tunnel, which is 895, has seen a 9% increase. Now, the Key Bridge was also used by a lot of trucks, but since they aren't allowed to drive through the tunnels, needless to say, the increased volume means there's also been an increase in delays everywhere. I would expect litigation as it pertains to which party is responsible for what and for how much in financial terms, and the drag out in courts with appeals cause even more delays. And in the end, you know the American taxpayer will once again end up footing a large portion of the bill. Few questions that I have. Why isn't the city of Baltimore and the state of Maryland footing a larger portion of the initial cost instead of the taxpayers across America? According to reports, if Baltimore and the state of Maryland had done their due diligence and did the necessary updates to the bridge itself with regard to the structure, the amount of damage could have been somewhat negated. So they bear some responsibility in this. Another issue is the Key Bridge itself. Did Baltimore have an active insurance policy on the bridge? Should something happen to it? We, the general tax-paying individuals in America, are required to carry auto insurance, homeowners insurance, health insurance. Was there insurance on the Key Bridge? Now, the Key Bridge originally cost about $60.3 million to build back in the 70s. Replacement costs in today's dollars would be roughly $316 million. Report I read said that the insurance on the Key Bridge is capped at $350 million. If that was the case, why was Joe Biden so quick to immediately write a check and give away $60 million of the American taxpayers' money to the city of Baltimore and a promise to pay for the entire rebuild of the Key Bridge? Who is watching and keeping track of all these millions and millions of dollars being handed out like candy to what appears to be irresponsible children? And thirdly, Baltimore and the state of Maryland charge toll fees to every vehicle, truck or car, that crosses the Key Bridge, goes through the Fort McHenry tunnels, the Harbor tunnels, and uses Route 95 Turnpike to name a few tolls. Once again, according to the Maryland State Highway, traffic along Route 95's Fort McHenry Tunnel is up by 11% since the bridge collapsed, meaning that more than 111,000 vehicles pass through it daily. That's a heck of a lot of toll money they're collecting. At the same time, data shows that the Harbor Tunnel 895 has seen a 9% increase in traffic and collects tolls for more than 66,000 vehicles daily. Once again, that's a heck of a lot of money in tolls. And that is only two of the toll collection places that Baltimore and state of Maryland charges both in-state and out-of-state travelers. Things that make you go, Okay, my friends, any questions, please leave me comments below. Remember to like, subscribe, and click that notification bell. And also remember you can listen to the podcast version of this wherever you listen to your podcast. Thanks again. Take care. And see you next time. Bye-bye.
I can't hardly wait till I'm a trucker.